Yeah, today, leaving important words out on websites.com. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's pretty website in here and pretty video game.
Yeah, look at all this corn.
Is it website in here or is it just me?
Was that you? Man, you've got to adjust your diet.
How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. I've been watching. My girlfriend is out of town, so I've been taking care of the cat.
Okay.
And I contend that it is intelligent.
There's quite a philosophical discussion we had going in the car.
Have you been playing dragon fucker with the cat?
No, I have not. I feel like
dress it up like a dragon.
The cat wants things and tries to tell me that it wants things kind of all the time, like especially when I'm sleeping. Yeah.
Cool. Also, what happens when you're sleeping is you get yelled at by the tiny Zach on your shoulder, who is mad at you for leaving the valve open on the carbonator again.
Yeah, this morning I woke up and I could have sworn that Zach had yelled my name, and I was like, "Oh fuck, did I leave the CO2 valve open again?" And
I think you've just got a guilty conscience.
Yeah, I think I've got a guilty conscience.
One of these days, you're going to wake up and either the house or the office is going to be completely full of plants because you've made it such a CO2 rich environment.
That's true.
And then I'll be pretty happy because I'm like, oh man, yesterday I had an office. Today I have the ruins of an office covered with plants.
Sweet.
Which is pretty awesome.
Pretty
awesome.
We just need to install some skeletons.
Yeah, we do. Oh man, skeletons, guys.
Yeah.
Skeletons.
Pressure plates on the floor.
We've been making some websites. We've been pushing.
Setting some webs, starting some kicks.
Pushing our new video game project, Kickstarter.
Yep.
Available online at wordrealms.com/Kickstarter. That isn't real. I might make it real by the time
WordRealms.com is real, and it will take you.
It's got pictures of stuff using our horrible art and shitty animation.
There's no animation on there.
The internet has been pretty shitty about everything lately.
I think it's a vocal minority.
No, I think the internet has been the vocal minority on the internet has been pretty shitty about a lot of things. Just continuing to read all of these people talking about how Diablo 3 is terrible leads me to believe that they're not in the same world that I am.
Yeah, no. Especially the people who think it looks terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, given anything in any style, there will be some people who think it looks terrible, right?
Yeah.
You know, so
I would like to meet all the haters of the Word Realms art and introduce them to Roy, who is just the nicest, sweetest guy I have ever even imagined meeting.
It's too bad he's so bad at art.
But like, I mean, if you had a 6-year-old doing art for your game and you're like, let me introduce you to this 6-year-old that's doing this art, she's really sweet. Like, I could still say the art sucks and not feel bad about it, because, like, you know.
But if you said it to her face, you would feel pretty bad,
yeah,
I hope.
No. Yeah.
I'd be like,
and on the internet, everything you were saying, you're saying it to their face.
She doesn't have a day job because she's a baby, just like Roy. He's not really a baby, but
he's got a baby beard.
He's got a baby on the way.
Yeah,
he's got a baby beard.
Yeah,
babies don't have beards. Yeah, do you mean he has no beard?
He has a real beard.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a baby beard.
It's a wooden beard.
Yeah. Do you mean
it doesn't become a real beard?
Do you mean
until
he carries a baby around so that people won't think
he's
gay?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah,
I get it.
But he straps
okay.
it to his face.
Right. They don't think he's. They don't think he's gay. They think he's in love with babies.
You guys.
Have you guys done any non-video game related stuff for the last week? Because I haven't.
No, I just the one video game, really.
I've been watching a lot of movies.
Yeah, what have you been watching?
Terrible. Jesus Christ. I watched Haywire last night. It is terrible.
What is that?
It is like, it's effectively a movie that was spawned because of this female MMA fighter, Gina Carone or something. I forget her name.
We should make an MMA RPG.
Yeah.
You level up points in breaking your fucking leg. Did I show you any of those YouTube videos that I watched
Meaning
of people's legs getting broken?
Terrible. I don't want to see any of those YouTube videos.
It's pretty sweet. You should watch them. It's like, I mean, it's a good way to think about skeletons.
What else? So I watched that. That was like, there are some really cool fight scenes, but then it is held together, like all the fight scenes are held together by this kind of retarded, inscrutable plot. It's just dumb. It is like a movie.
I hope
that
the
was,
writer didn't hear you say that.
No, it was terrible. It was literally
I heard
a movie.
The guy that wrote Haywire is really sweet and has a really sweet baby beard.
I'm sure he does.
And is also a 6-year-old girl.
And then I watched We Bought a Zoo, which was actually pretty good.
Huh.
You bought an entire zoo?
No, I watched. We bought a zoo.
Oh.
We bought a zoo.
I bought. We watched a zoo. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
It's like just a documentary.
Documentary about zoos. There's actually a documentary called Zoo by Frederick Wiseman. I think it's about the Bronx Zoo.
There's a U2 album called Zooropa.
Sure.
That's pretty good.
Was it?
It had Lemon on it. And it had that song where
I thought you didn't like U2.
It had that song where the Edge sings. I purchased one U2 album when was I was in Zooropa? High school. And it was Zooropa.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Some, you know.
That is an album that I do not know anything about.
Yeah.
That came out after their Zoo TV tour, I guess.
They had a lot of televisions on the stage when they were doing that.
Yeah. They had like a huge giant screen that was composed of like at least four LEDs, I think. Maybe
4
12.
Entire LEDs. Yeah. They were red because there were only red LEDs in the 90s.
Yeah. I think U2 was one of the big, like the first concert show that I ever went to when I was in high school.
I saw Nine Inch Nails as my first concert on the Downward Spiral tour. Hmm. And they had a big projection screen behind them. And on it, during some songs, they played like a time lapse of like an animal rotting and being eaten by maggots.
Yay!
Yeah.
What?
That's real good for anybody who happens to be on acid.
Does he have a band playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because it was just Pretty Hate Machine that did completely by himself, right? Everything else, he actually
played a keyboard.
A band.
He was on keyboard a lot of the time, and then at the end of the show, he took the keyboard and stomped all the keys off of it.
Really?
Yep.
So yeah. Part of
that
the budget of each show is to buy a new keyboard.
Than just
to buy
a new keyboard, a guitar.
I guess. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot more parts to break off of a keyboard than a guitar.
Yeah.
What about a keytar?
Okay, that would be a hybrid.
What about a guitar or not a guitar?
A good board.
How about a keyboard? Necktie.
Piano that you play by strumming the strings.
Piano necktie.
A harp.
Okay, so Trent harp, Reznor was wearing one of those t-shirts with a tuxedo printed on it.
Ah, okay.
Pretty similar to the keyboard necktie. It would have been harder for him to stomp to pieces the keyboard from Big, where you jump around on it.
That would have been difficult.
Although he did have a Zoltan machine that he hit with a hammer.
Was it a Zoltan Cool machine?
Yes. It's like the wizard Cool. Cool wizard. I like to think that
cool wizard, bro.
That wizard is just the grown up child of Amadeus from Parenthood. His name was not Amadeus in Parenthood. He was just Steve Martin's fuck up younger brother who came to the family times with a child, a baby named Cool. It wasn't a baby. It was more like a toddler. Maybe not. He was talking. I don't know anything about babies.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Anyway, this one was named Cool, and then he grew up to be an evil wizard, and they had to hide his blood in some stuff in various places. It's, you know, the whole grimdark aspect of Diablo 3 would be more a point of criticism if it didn't just get to the point of absurdity every chance
you
gave it.
Well, yeah, that's like 40K is even more so.
I fought a monster named Grash the Chundermonger, which he didn't try to sell me any vomit the entire time we were fighting, so I don't know if
I think maybe that he wanted to sell you vomit, but you just don't understand his intentions, like when he sticks his paw in your mouth in the morning.
Mm, right. See, I just assumed that he doesn't have any intentions because he's a demon, and if he was big enough, he would eat me.
I fought a monster whose first name I don't remember, but his surname was Scat Hatch.
Scat Hatch?
Yes.
All right. Do you think that's like... that's the hatch we open if we need to get away in a hurry, or do you think that's...
No, that's the poop chute.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Quick, get in the poop chute of the Millennium Falcon. We're being boarded. Quick, hide in my poop chute.
I'm not falling for that one again.
I had the opportunity to test one of those, like, escape the building because it's been hit by an airplane or is on fire things, which was like a 20-story, like... fabric tube that you spin all the way down to the ground in. It was pretty cool. It was like a big adult amusement park ride kind of thing.
Where you couldn't see though?
Yeah, no, you're completely enclosed in fabric and it's like really tight so that you like have to like actively maneuver to get all the way down so that you don't like just plummet to your death or whatever.
I rode in one of those once, but I was wearing that suit from Seven, so the people behind me were just fucked.
Yeah, that's a problem.
What was the circumstances under which you? What were the circumstances under which you got to ride that sweet
fabric
tube?
I was trapped in Bolivia by an uprising of the population against the government, And so,
see, this sounds like something that I would make up, but because you're saying it, it's actually true.
Right. So, and a friend of mine who worked for the World Bank was like, well, we're going to be testing some evacuation procedures from our building. You want to come hang out? And I was like, sure. So I got
in
to...
this one, we fire you out of a cannon.
Yeah,
because it can't be any worse than what's coming for you.
So we went down, and then we quickly got in the elevator and went all the way back to the top so we could do it again.
All right.
Yeah,
it was pretty great.
It's probably not the typical escape.
No
guidelines.
No, probably not. But yeah.
So yeah, what have you guys been playing besides Diablo 3? We should get that out of the way first. Riff, nothing.
Nothing.
For the father, nothing.
Yeah. I played that Parameters game that you had posted to the Twitter.
What did you think of it?
It took me a little while to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. That's part of the fun.
I didn't realize that I had, I was earning points that I could spend on stats at first.
Yeah, I did not either.
And then I also did not realize that the shit that was popping out of the squares, I had to mouse over to collect for a long time. So once I realized those two things, I restarted and then played through the entire game and beat it in, 25 minutes or whatever.
I was tabbing out of it a lot, so I took 98 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that would... Because you didn't realize
I didn't know it was, a time attack thing.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. It was okay. I wish I had realized earlier how awesome a deal the gambling minigame is.
Yeah, it wasn't until I was almost done with it and then went and read some stuff about it.
Oh, I hadn't read anything about it. I just, started messing with it. And, because I had played it, two or three times and just hadn't gotten anything. And then I was like, you know, I'm getting really close to the end of this thing. I've got plenty of cash.
My finger hurts.
My finger, I don't know, because I've been playing enough Diablo that my index finger was in shape.
It's muscular. It's a good thing we don't have muscles in our fingers, because they would be fucking huge.
Yeah.
Well, your clicking finger.
I guess, yeah, you're
no,
right.
No, you don't. There are
don't.
No muscles.
Right.
There are no muscles in there. It's all in your forearms.
Weird. Yeah.
It's all tendons doing that.
It's
kind of creepy.
I need to rearrange the keys.
On your hands?
Yes, the keys in my hands I use for playing Diablo.
What was your, not to get ahead of ourselves, but what was the keys that you're using?
I use 1 and 2, and then I rekeyed stand still when attacking to the space bar.
See, I did that. Stand still for me is tab instead of shift. Hmm. I use 1, 2, 3, 4 as normal, and then space bar is potion.
Huh.
Because that's what I just, if I'm freaking out, that's the thing I want to be able to hit.
I should
most
maybe
readily.
Rekey that to something because Q is too hard to find.
Yeah, I always was screwing up.
I just hooked up a Kinect and made it so whenever I yell "fuck," it drinks a potion.
Oh, that's pretty good actually. Yeah. That's a good plan.
Yeah. It's Parameters.
Oh yeah, sorry. So besides Parameters, for people who've not seen it or know anything about it, it is a.
It's like an RPG with all of the content gone.
Yeah, it is just a grid of boxes that you click on. To complete subsections of them are quests and some of them are monsters, I guess. But they're completely abstracted. So they have hit points. Some of them have hit points. You have hit points, and you have action points and attack and defense and stuff like that. So you've got some of the same stats as you would have in a role playing game or whatever. But yeah, it's weird. It was an interesting thing to have experienced. I don't think I would ever play it again.
Yeah. But, I would definitely recommend it to people, though. I mean, it's sort of like where Progress Quest is all the content and none of the game. This is all of the game and none of the content.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the systems, for sure.
I mean, and it is interesting how
recognizable
you continued to play it for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And didn't feel like
I didn't
you
feel
were
I was
enjoying
robbed.
Yourself, right? Yeah, I mean, that was...
It got pretty repetitive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was some strategizing. I mean, there's there are systems there that you have to learn about. And then apply.
I never was quite sure whether the size of the box was meaningful.
I think it did matter. I don't know enough. I didn't have enough data points and I wasn't really...
I mean, it was definitely the wider the box was, the more experience you would get by going through the mission. And it kind of seemed like the taller the box, the larger the magnitude of the numbers that it generated were.
I got a lot more
imagining that.
Money from taller boxes on the missions when I was... trying to farm gold before I realized that you could play the gambling minigame.
Yeah.
The monsters were, by and large, tougher the bigger the boxes were because they had a certain number of hit points, but some with fewer hit points were easier than... were harder than some with larger numbers of hit points.
Hmm. I wonder if their attack and defense were based on how big the box was.
Might have been.
That was probably it.
That might have been it.
Is it the same every time? I think they're...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seemed like it. I didn't really... look for that, but I thought it was.
Parameters. Yeah. Can you search for this game by parameters?
I don't know. It's in Japanese.
Yeah, I found it via a Metafilter link that just said...
You can search for it by looking at our Twitter feed.
RPG. Yeah, you can also look at twitter.com/VGHotDog.
So then the other thing that I spent a little bit of time playing was the second in the series of the Talesworth Adventures game, Talesworth Adventures Lost Artifacts. Which is pretty fun, actually.
It's like that Robo Rally. Like, it gives you a maze that's a dungeon, and then you've got a dude.
Yeah, you've
who
got
moves autonomously.
The dude just moves like barrels straight ahead, and you have to kind of construct objects and things in the dungeon to maneuver him around to make sure that he collects the right things.
Sort of like
and kills the right
rocket
and stuff. Maybe. It's a bit of a. It's like a very rudimentary programming exercise. It's like there's a lot of different ways you can think about it. But I really appreciated the level design. I haven't finished it yet. I'm like maybe between a third and a half of the way through. Because you get like a bronze star for just completing the levels. And then you get a silver star for completing the level while also getting the like gem. And then a gold star for completing the level, getting the gem, and also having two of all the resources that it gave you to like put in the maze. So like it's giving you at least two of every resource extra than you need to solve the level.
Okay.
And then you can get a platinum star, which they don't talk about in the game. It's sort of like a hidden bonus for being even more efficient, using even fewer resources, like if you have more than two of any of the given things. So it's just got a lot of like difficulty depth to it without being sort of overwhelming. I kind of won't finish a level unless I've gotten a gold star, but other people I feel like would probably be satisfied getting silver stars on a lot of levels because they get pretty hard. Like they're pretty complicated. There's a lot going on. And it adds a bunch of features over the initial, like the earliest game in the series, which is pretty neat. So I can definitely recommend that. I don't know how old that is. It's just a Flash game on Kongregate. It's a
fucking shitty Flash game.
Yeah.
Is the art shitty?
It is
the
not,
animation just stupid
not
and
awesome,
shitty,
but it is
shitty.
Definitely an improvement over the first game that they had. And then this one has a little bit of a narrative to it. This one's got like it's definitely much more of a complete package. Although, you know, it's free. So
yeah.
You can't argue with that.
Still too expensive. For a shitty Flash game.
That's what I've been playing.
I played a little bit of I went to they did some weird video games day at the
Bookman's
used bookstore, the Bookman's here in Mesa, Arizona. And the reason that I went is because the mini bosses played.
Huh.
And I was like, why are the mini bosses playing at a bookstore? And then it turned out it was like video game day. So there were a bunch of people cosplaying.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
Although, having been to Dragon Con, you got to get up pretty early in the morning to impress me with your cosplay there, Charlie. Every girl who cosplays is named Charlie. She was that character in Firestarter.
Yeah. Girls with boys' names are somehow always more alluring, right?
That's weird. Why is that? Why does that happen? Or is it just because you notice? Is it because somebody told you that once?
In the movies, they always are. And that's why.
I have found that to be pretty true in real life.
Maybe it's because they have to overcome the awkwardness of a boy's name that they compensate by being more awesome.
Maybe that dissonance causes you to focus more on the aspects of what makes them awesome as a girl.
You start to look at their boobs and then you're like, wait, that's a dude's name, what am I doing? And then just that like weird problem.
Oh, right,
in your,
right.
In
girls
your
are more
head.
Attractive when you stop looking at their boobs and actually have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Either that or you just get excited about them because you think that they're a dude and that's what you're into. And then it turns out they're a girl and you're like, oh, that girl is hot because she's almost a dude.
Sure.
That could be it.
That could be a thing.
What was I talking about?
Bookmans.
Yeah. Guys, don't worry. I know that you were worried. I know that you guys were a little bit upset with me for having pirated Werewolf the Last Warrior. But I bought a cart of it. So don't freak out
ex post facto
about that anymore. Yeah. So I'm sure the creator of that got whatever his royalties are from the $6 I paid for this cart at Bookman's. The girl behind the counter was, I saw her with the three people in front of me, like making jokes about whatever they were buying.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, I don't want to talk to anybody about Werewolf the Last Warrior. And I especially don't want to talk to, and it's like, don't let him bite you.
Was that what she said?
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, okay. She was like, that would be bad. And I said, yeah, or good, you know. I'm participating. I'm people in the world. It's fun. I'm having fun. That's what I said.
Were you cosplaying at the time?
I was. I thought about, I got one of those rubber horse masks. Just because they're
ruining
awesome.
Ruining my birthday surprise for you.
So my girlfriend has now requested that I not purchase anything for myself in the 2 months prior to my birthday and the 2 months prior to Christmas. So I'm like, basically what you're asking me to do is to spend a third of my life shackled by this inability to acquire any of the things that bring me joy. Thanks, girlfriend.
You could just ask. You could just ask the people around you who care about you, should I buy this thing for myself?
No. Man, I didn't want to wait 2 months for this horse mask. Anyway, what I was going to do was I was going to wear that horse mask and just put on a sign that said, hello, my name is Epona. And that was going to be my cosplay. But then I didn't have a hello, my name is sticker. We need to get some of those because it's a handy thing to have laying around. And I didn't want to print one out because I didn't have time before we had to go to this thing. But yeah, I picked up a copy of Werewolf the Last Warrior. I've yet to break out my NES and try to play it. I worry, though, that it would somehow make everything suck if I actually booted
everything
that
in the world.
Yeah. Like,
it just opens a vortex.
Like an actual physical copy of that game would do so much damage to just the underlying nature of reality that I'd like suddenly my house, like all the floors are like tar pits. And not cool tar pits. Like they're
no,
would be like, oh, I'm going to fish out some dead dinosaurs.
Right.
Would it be cool weird if your floor was actually lava, do you think? Because,
no,
like,
no.
That game was fun, but when you actually touched the floor and, like, didn't lose an appendage,
even,
I feel like
that
was...
Even if you weren't touching it, I think just being...
Not that close to lava?
Being that close to lava would just cook you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, your sofa would vaporize, and you wouldn't have any... I mean, if the floor was lava and all of your furniture was rocks, then maybe, but then the couch would be uncomfortable when you weren't, like, playing your fun jumping
also
game,
super,
right?
Everything is super hot, I think.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
a problem.
Yeah. And maybe. Lungs would just bake.
Do you die if you get close to lava?
You can.
Lava's pretty fucked
it can,
up, right?
It can, yeah, definitely, it can definitely cook you.
Really hot.
You know what? Most people probably never see lava.
In real life?
Probably never will.
That's probably true.
That's sad.
I mean, have you seen lava?
We've never been in an ice cave.
No, that's true.
We took a photo of an ice cave.
We did.
Well, see, but this is what video games give to us, is
right.
The ability to have these experiences that we would not otherwise
have. I guess we've never
have.
Slowly been driven mad by one of the old gods.
That's true.
The world that we know of.
Yeah, I mean.
That would explain a lot of things, really.
So I didn't play Werewolf the Last Warrior. I did play a little bit of a... I got, when I was waiting in the waiting room, in my doctor's office, they were like, I was there at the right time for my appointment, and they were like, he's got two people ahead of you. So I'm like, okay. Huh. So I went and I looked at Touch Arcade, and I downloaded the first free game that there was, and I played it a little bit on my phone, and I was thinking, man, this is another one of those things that would have just blown my tiny mind if you had described this to me when I was 10 years old. You're sitting, waiting at the doctor's office, and you're bored because you're just sitting in a chair
right.
waiting for something. You can acquire a brand new video game for free and play it on a thing that will also show you pictures of naked ladies.
And it goes in your pocket.
But not at the doctor's office.
I'm sure it would at the doctor's office.
It would not be appropriate for you to do it. If the only appropriate way to look at naked ladies at the doctor's office is if you are the doctor.
Right.
Something I forgot to mention is I got the, because Ticket to Ride Pocket Edition was free, so I downloaded that. And
is it,
a
can you play it single player?
Mm-hmm. There's like computer opponents. It's Ticket to Ride.
Are the computer opponents competent?
They can be. Yeah.
I mean, I got it, but I don't care.
That's one I've been waiting for the price to go down on the iPad version before I buy it.
Yeah,
kind of waffling.
I don't know if it would be satisfying
$3
to get
those. How much is it? Is it?
I think it's
like
it's more like
five or ten.
Yeah, five or ten.
What's weird is
it's
that
like
you would buy so many ridiculous things for $5, but it seems like such a big deal to buy an iPhone game for $5.
Yeah,
an iPad game for
$5.
Well, plus
I've just been spending a lot of money on Kickstarters lately.
Oh,
I thought you had given yourself a budget.
No.
You just decided to spend at least $50 a month?
It started out as being 50. I think it was $50 a month for that month.
Okay.
But there started being so many Kickstarters where I needed to give more than $50 to get the really cool shit.
Oh, yeah. You were really excited about that magic Jester language deck thing.
That serpent's tongue is the name of that. That looks really interesting.
You're a sucker for artifacts.
Props, yeah. That Republic game got me because comes with a journal.
Did you
inserts and the collector's edition comes in a hollowed out book.
Did you back the Shadowrun thing enough to get like the USB dog tags?
Got the USB dog tags.
I'm gonna be really sad if those are actually really cool. I was on the fence about that.
Yeah, I was looking at that going, oh.
Because if it's super awesome, I'm gonna be sad. But
plus I bought that $80 pen that you can kill a man with.
Okay. Is that how it was advertised?
No. It is made by the same guy who makes other pens that you could kill a guy
I
with.
See.
Yeah,
I
they're
see.
The tactical pens designed to be pretty much absolutely indestructible and right in any situation, which is, you know, I'm not often in a situation where an ordinary pen would not suffice.
To kill a dude that you need to kill.
No, well, that so rarely happens to me either. But I don't know. I just wanted a nice pen, and they looked like really nice pens.
I don't think I've ever supported a Kickstarter to the point where I got physical rewards from it, except for the one where the whole point was a physical reward because it was just a product.
Yeah.
And I guess the Idle Thumbs one. I get those prints and the whatnots.
Oh, yeah. Which prints did you get?
I think I got all of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I went for the shitty wizards.
But I got that. They gave me one of the like trial misprint things of the gold wizard shirts. It's just like a little square of cloth with the gold wizard thing printed on it. And that is just so much more valuable to me than any of the stuff that they're going to send me in the mail.
Nice.
Like, oh, I remember that. That was cool. Those guys are nice.
I kind of actually like not acquiring more physical objects.
Yeah.
I'm such an aesthete.
I got rid of a bunch of clothes last weekend. Just my girlfriend and I like cleaned out the closet and then apologized to our mothers.
Good.
For living in sin. I'm sorry we're sharing this closet. We'll clean it out. Get married right
You're
away.
Also sharing it with like a microwave though. And
I wouldn't say we're sharing it with the microwave. I mean, it's...
So is it your contention that the microwave doesn't have feelings?
No, the closet is the microwave's house.
Okay.
And we're borrowing...
You're renting closet. Space?
Yeah, we're renting it from the microwave. Okay. We're paying it in AC juice.
Fair enough.
AC juice was my least favorite character on Saved by the Bell.
You have a microwave plugged in your closet?
Yes.
He uses it. He microwaves things in his closet.
I have like this heating pad thing that I use when I'm sick.
Okay.
And I don't like walking downstairs to
use it. That and it makes
like,
sense. I think that's a totally reasonable thing.
It was a $30 microwave and I have plenty of space in there and an outlet. And plus I also thought like, every once in a while if I like, my coffee's cold, but I don't want to go all the way downstairs.
Do you really? Have you really done
I that? Have, yeah. Every once in a while. You know.
Man, now that's luxury.
I've also got another microwave that I can reach from the toilet.
He lights the microwave with a $100 bill each time.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really old, it's a really cheap microwave with a pilot light. So anyway, I played. What was I talking about? Why am I so bad at talking about things?
I don't know. Usually you're totally the man on remembering what it was that you started talking about.
The stack is usually popped off by you.
I'm so excited about all this, the shit we've been doing. I was werewolfing.
Yeah.
Clean out your closet, throw away your clothes.
That was very recent.
That was, okay, and then it was Kickstarter before that.
It was Kickstarter
before that. There was definitely something that you were playing. That you were talking, you started to talk about.
I played a flash game. It was the newest game in the Monsters Den series.
Oh, right.
Which I actually really, really liked the first, two. It did not, like, I got really frustrated by the interface on this. So the way that the Monsters Den games worked was like, it was just a very kind of abstract dungeon crawl where you had a party of dudes and, you'd kill monsters. You'd like click on a room to explore it. The room was like the room was just like kind of a tree that you were like data structure wise, just like a tree that you were expanding into. And there were rooms with treasures and rooms with monsters. And you'd fight the monsters. And the way that the combat worked was really straightforward. There was a grid of six spaces on your side and six spaces on the enemy's side, or it might have been four on each side. I might be thinking of something else that I want to talk about.
Okay.
But it was like there were guys that had like an attack that killed every enemy in front of them or whatever, right? So it would like pierce the guy in the front row. And then there were like, you know, this attack can only fire from the back row. And like, it was not a lot of complexity added to the just push a button, select an item from a menu sort of RPG combat, but it was enough to make it, you know, more interesting than nothing, but mm-hmm. not so complicated that I lost interest in it the way that I do with like really serious tactical combat in RPGs. This version of it kind of presents that the same way, except it's the dungeon is in this sort of like weird 3D and it's at an angle. It's like a, like, I don't know if it is isometric because I don't know if there is a 60 degree angle,
anywhere
present, but it's like, you know, laid out like Diablo. It's laid out like Civilization, every Civilization game past the first one, where it's like a grid of diamonds. And it just makes it harder for me to tell what rooms are connected to other rooms. It's not impossible. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not an idiot. I just it's slightly harder to wrap my head around the way that the stuff is connected together. And that's enough to fatigue me to the point where I don't want to do it.
Does it have any advantage over just being top down?
I don't think that it does at all. There are a lot of people who believe that it looks nicer. But it's like, it's kind of the problem that I had with the latter day Ultima games, I guess not really latter day, the middle-aged Ultima games, where it got to where it was that weird top-down diamond view of everything. Like Ultima Online had that view where if you were looking at a house, it looked like a diamond on the screen if it was a square in the world. And it just bugs me. I don't like it. I don't like a game where movement doesn't map one-to-one with the arrow keys or WASD. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess using a joystick, it wouldn't be that big of a deal or whatever.
What if instead of WASD, you used keys offset in like a diamond pattern?
I don't know that I would ever... I mean, I could, like, if that's how every game had ever been, then I would be used to that.
Right.
I suppose. But it was like this is actually a thing that I want to... There are a bunch of things spinning off of this that I kind of want to talk about in response to things that I've thought about video games over the last week or so. So the way that the Monster's Den game would continue is like you would beat these guys and then you would get it was like super loot pinata.
Yeah.
Right. Like your guys had a bunch of dudes with a bunch of inventory slots and you would just get stuff that increased their stats. And it was like really,
and
satisfying.
They had like several different tiers of rares and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, it was neat, you know, like it scratched that kind of Diablo itch, mm-hmm. but it was in a very casual, like you'd get through the whole thing in an hour, right? This one, like, it was really bothering me, like how small the icons for the gear were. And it's like, oh, I got 9 things and they're really, really tiny. And it's like
that
hard.
That was pretty, I feel like that was true of the first one.
It
as
was,
well.
It was true in the first one. And I think in a lot of ways, I'm just less patient about this one. The way that the battles are presented is also like isometric. It's probably not isometric. I keep using isometric the way that normal people use it and not what it actually means.
Definition.
Yeah. But it was just like you had dudes like standing there and there were dudes in front of other dudes. Like the people on the right were in front of the people on the left and obscuring them. And like
that just takes away.
But at the same time, like, it didn't bother me in The Legend of Zelda, because it happens in The Legend of Zelda. You'll partially obscure the sprite that's in the square above you. Or do you? Now I don't remember. The monsters never do, but I think you do.
Because you're taller?
You certainly do in Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah. You know, in Binding of Isaac, you certainly get in front of some poop, and then you can't see the poop. But yeah, I don't know. It was like, oh man, all of these refinements are probably things that somebody complained about in the original one, but it like really doesn't add anything to the gameplay. And this is not an experience that is about the visuals. And so like at that point, the visuals need to be just good enough to convey what the gameplay is trying to do, you know, and anything else just gets in the way of that as far as I'm concerned. I mean, because it's not like this is not an important enough game for me to play that I'm going to put up with anything that bothers me about it. And so it was weird. It reminded me of the only I really like the idea of a Heroes of Might and Magic kind of game. or a King's Bounty or whatever. Mm-hmm. But where those fall apart for me is when I've got a bunch of guys on a battlefield that is a grid, and I've got a bunch of movement points, and I have to move them around to different positions and use their attacks on other stuff. And the one series of games like that that I played the most of was Disciples, which abstracts that combat down to something very similar to what I was describing with Monsters Den. You had six, like, places that you could be, and there were six places that the opponent could be. And I don't even know if positioning really mattered in those. There might have been, like, attacks that would hit an entire row of them.
Yeah, I mean, why would there
be an entire
column
of them?
Yeah. Be a thing.
Well, I mean, it was so that you could only have six types of units. Because, like, you would sure. have, like, a stack of dudes in this spot.
Oh, I see.
Like, and there were probably limits on the number of units that could be in a stack. And Disciples was, like, it was a pretty generic fantasy environment. But it, like, looked nice, and there was nothing really getting in the way of the system. Like, I really enjoyed the, like, exploring and the resource gathering parts of Heroes of Might and Magic, but I just didn't like the combat. And so I was never able to really, you know, stick through an entire campaign in it. I wonder if there was, like, some kind of cyborg that you could turn on.
To do the fights for
you. To do the fights for me. Like in Star Control 2.
That was pretty clever of them to just allow that to, like, if you don't want this part of the game at all, you can just ignore it.
Yeah. Even though if you suggested that today, you would be described as the cancer that is killing video games. There was some lady at BioWare. I don't even remember what this story was. But there was this minor controversy about people being really mean to this woman who said something about, like, if you got a button to skip the cutscenes, why don't you give me a button to skip the fights, you butthole? I don't think she even said that. She probably doesn't even know the word butthole because she seemed nice.
If there are, like, four different things going on in the game, one of which is cutscenes, one of which is, like, combats, one of which is, like, a collection game, and one of which is an exploration game or whatever, then sure, why not allow you to skip the fights if you don't want that? But if all you have are cutscenes and fights, I don't think allowing you to skip both the cutscenes and the fights is really a viable option.
Well, sure. You just have an option on the main menu to play the end credits.
But in a BioWare game, which is what she was talking about, there is a bunch of stuff that isn't cutscenes and fights, right? Like, there's a bunch of running around, talking to people. There's a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of exploring spaces and opening chests with shit in them.
Okay, well then, why not allow people to skip the fights?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Something that I've noticed about a lot of roguelikes recently is, like, a feature that people seem to demand in a modern roguelike is auto-explore, where you just hit a button and your dude just runs around exploring unexplored areas of the map until he sees an enemy, and then it gives you control back. Which, that, I was like, man, why would...
Wow, yeah.
I don't want that.
I definitely used the keys that would move you forward until you got to an enemy or something like
well, yeah,
that.
But I would use that if I was, like, in a hallway, right? And it's like, I want to know how far this hallway goes, but I don't really want it to just instantly map the entire level for me, right? I mean, and I guess it's using resources, it's using up your hunger or whatever in those cases, so that it might be doing so less efficiently than you would, or maybe way more efficiently than you would. I don't, computers are pretty good at stuff like that, I've heard. Apart from that, like, all I played was Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah.
We went home Friday. We went out with some people on Friday. We're like, well, all right, guys, we got to go home and beat Diablo 3. We have plans tonight, so no socializing with you clowns at this clown bar.
Oh, clown bar.
Yeah, well.
Have you seen Shakes the Clown?
It was.
No. I'll loan you the
DVD. It was a bar that was themed with scary things, for what it's worth.
Oh, okay.
There was a big swamp monster.
Yeah.
It's too loud in there.
A giant grim reaper.
You sit outside.
There's an outside?
There's like a little porch outside.
You sit out there.
It's really quite pleasant.
You smoke cigars. Well, you go early so that you can be inside before it gets loud and look at all the monstros and the dog testicles. I was going to say tombstones, but it came out dog testicles.
The goatman?
Yeah, there were some goat demons.
No, goatmen.
That dance.
They were going all crazy. There must be some sort of sword fragment.
Sword. Yeah. Oh God,
getting the goatmen all riled up.
There were so many things on our first playthrough of Diablo 3.
You just burst out
laughing. Like, laughed. It was like, my sword split into three pieces, and it's scattered throughout this region. And you know, then Kane is like, well, of course it did, because of video game. Like, do you think that upset the goat men? Like, yeah, goat men hate video games.
Yeah. They're so pissed off right now.
And yeah. There was still that weird thing. I skipped through it on my playthrough of it on Nightmare, and I intended to, like, that weird line that the guy delivers, the ghost that lets you into that drowned temple or whatever, is like, mm-hmm. You have proven your strength. What now do you think you are? It was like, was that a typo that they just read?
No, that makes total sense in the narrative.
What now do you think you are?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Because at this point, you don't realize
it's an archaic sort of phrasing of it. But
because
you don't realize
that you're a Nephilim. Yeah. So yeah. The way that I realized, because
only Nephilim are allowed in the temple, right?
The way that I realized that I was a Nephilim was eventually everybody started calling me Nephilim. Nephilim. Yeah. And after a while, I was, oh, they must be talking to me when they're saying this dumb shit. Yeah. So I mean, all right, I guess. I guess
having played through the game with all the narrative on, it made a lot more sense to me.
I listened to it all the first time. I mean, I think a lot of it I just tuned out because it felt like super video game.
You skipped
shit.
Through a fair amount of the dialogue on
I
the first.
Read. I was reading it.
Okay, I did not get a chance to read it all in the first.
Well, you read too slow.
I guess so. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
because we're not talking about that yet.
Oh, right, because that's the assignment. Shit.
Yeah.
That's also what we've been playing.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Sorry.
I don't even know what to do.
I know.
With this show, because that's all we've been playing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, fuck it. Kevin, get the news. I'm in the middle of a thought about Diablo 3. News. Come on.
There's some Diablo 3 news. The hidden level was revealed.
It's pretty great.
I thought people knew about that last
before,
week.
After the show.
I thought people knew about it before they saw it.
I don't know about that.
People knew about it before it existed.
Yeah, so it's Whimsyshire. It's pretty pretty great, actually.
Did you get into it?
I got into it. And I'd seen a video of it or whatever.
Is there rainbow unicorn poop?
Not poop.
The clouds. Did the clouds
there
fart?
Cloud? No, there didn't. There really wasn't any.
There's
poop
like happy
jokes or anything.
There's like
it's
happy
all
clouds.
Happy. It's happy clouds and rainbows and ponies and teddy bears.
Presents.
Yeah,
you killed
presents.
Them?
Yeah, I hit a fat purple unicorn pony and split it in half lengthwise, and it fell apart, and I could see its rib cage in both sides.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Blizzard sold 6.3 million copies of the game in its first week. That does not include the 1.2 million that people got for free as part of the like year-long
WoW
subscription. So there's like...
I am the 1%.
Yes.
You bought it?
Yeah, I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a collector's edition as soon as they have it on Amazon.
I don't think it will ever come out on Amazon, actually.
You don't think so?
Yeah, that's my guess, because you can buy it through other retailers on Amazon for like twice what its retail price is. So I'm thinking that maybe it's just never coming out.
Gosh, maybe I won't get it.
Yeah,
I really want that Soul Stone.
You can probably buy
that's
that
sweet.
On Amazon piece wise.
I don't want just that.
I know. So yeah, 38 studios.
Wouldn't it be cool if there was like an Easter egg where if the Soul Stone got near my nightlight, that it would unlock Diablo 4?
Yeah.
I don't recommend plugging a USB key into a power outlet.
Have you done that before?
Looking for Easter eggs.
you've been like, I've tried this so many times.
Yeah.
It has never worked out.
Does not work.
So 38 Studios is still in the news.
Which 38?
They released a preview of their like...
It was like a video of some fly-throughs. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there was no gameplay or any character design or whatever. It was just the most fundamental like of world design kind of things. But it looked neat. Like I guess that was Amalur, the world that they were showing. That's their Project Copernicus thing. The mayor of Rhode Island or whatever, not the mayor, the governor of Rhode Island. said that they are going to...
The Duke of Rhode Island.
The Duke of Rhode Island, yes.
The vampire lord of Rhode Island.
Has given them like a...
I hope there's one.
a June 2013 launch date or whatever. I don't know what that means. But they laid off some people anyway.
And the CEO quit. I saw that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And somebody else.
Yeah, so it's all a mess now.
They're caterer.
BioWare also laid off a bunch of people that were working on The Old Republic. Some of them got absorbed into other Electronic Arts areas and other parts of BioWare, and some of them just lost their jobs.
Is our friend okay?
He left anyway.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he voluntarily left. I don't know if it was because he knew this was coming or what, but I don't really know anything about it. There's a lot of people on the internet preaching doom and gloom.
Well, I mean, so their subscriber numbers were up to 1.7 million at the most and dropped 400,000 between February and March or whatever. So it's not a particularly pretty picture, but if a million people stick with the game, that's still a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, they always said that
they had
plans laid out for various levels of. I mean, the problem with anything that they've ever said is that they're, a big company who is not ever going to be honest about anything.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I don't have any particular reason to mistrust them. It's just that, like, once you get to the point where you have a PR department, it's sort of difficult to trust any information that comes out of there, right? Because, like, they're not going to say any of the bad things that are probably true. And no matter how great it is there are some bad things that are true, but you're not going to hear them. And so you're not going to know the whole story.
Because Paul Harvey hasn't been telling it?
Yeah, ever since he died, we don't know shit.
I know. And it really has been kind of downhill since then.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Rooney's not even there to complain about it anymore.
Oh.
Wow. This is just a downer.
And what, Dick Clark and B.G.?
George Carlin.
B.G. Gibb?
Yeah.
He got jibbed.
So a judge has recently ruled that... or recommends, I guess that it wasn't like a ruling, that Xbox 360s not be sold in the U.S. There's a conflict patent conflict with Motorola. Mm. And so they've been in litigious battles, and a judge has at this point recommended that they halt sales of Xbox 360s. Microsoft is, of course, saying that this is ridiculous. But it, like, in Germany, you cannot buy an Xbox 360 right now. Because of
because of Microsoft's controversial decision to put a swastika on every case.
I mean, that was a weird choice.
I mean, it wasn't the swastika.
It's like a Buddhist.
Like
a Buddhist.
Yeah.
I mean, the swastika lights up if your box doesn't.
Oh yeah,
boot
only,
right.
you can only see it when your Xbox is broken.
Yeah. In more exciting news. This San Francisco startup company called Leap Motion had a cool announcement.
Released a fake video of a fake product that isn't real.
Well, I mean, sure, it's not a video of it in actual.
Is it one of those flying suits?
No, but it is.
Was it a guy jumping out of a helicopter into some cardboard boxes?
That also happened.
Well, was it four MMA fighters breaking their legs?
It is a USB device that turns your computer into a Kinect style interface where you can move your hands around and like pick up a pen and draw on your screen from like an inch away.
Oh,
right.
So not like how I've been doing it.
No, it's a USB device that allows you to pick up an ice cream cone and destroy your computer.
Yes. So, but like the idea of effectively turning each screen into its own screen.
Like Minority Report.
I mean, it's like a little Kinect.
Or
it's
like.
Very,
it's very much like, yeah.
Like Dude has in The Avengers.
Maybe. I've not when seen
it. Oh, you have to see that.
I know. Minority Report. And the thing that I thought was kind of funny about it, everything was really amazing and all future and stuff, only it was like, I bet everybody using these computer screens really wishes that they were opaque. Because.
That's got to be obnoxious.
Why would you, I know it's the future and all, but like, there's some shit over there that's distracting me.
I felt like it was probably going to be real inconvenient to have all your data stored on little spheres.
I think that was just some sort of encryption key thing. There was a point, though, where somebody was like, find all the pictures of mans in the neighborhood. And the guy was like, got him. And was like, all right, bring it over here. And they like had to put a physical piece of plastic into the side of one computer and carry it across the room and put it in the side of the other computer to get the pictures on his screen. I'm like, man, that shit was wireless even when you made this movie. It is the future.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Minority Report in a really long time, and I don't remember if it was any good.
I liked it. I definitely liked it.
I mean, I remember that there are parts of it that were cool. I liked it when he ate that gross sandwich.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, that happened. And then there was that old lady that made out with him for no real reason. My main objection, because he lands in the crazy botanist lady's yard and her...
Are you sure you're not just recounting one of your drunken adventures?
Her snapdragons were all trying to murder him, and then she was like, get away from him, I need to make out with him.
Are you sure this isn't like a Wallace and Gromit
or
something?
No, this really happened.
Huh, okay.
This was really part of Minority Report. What do you guys... Did you even see this movie?
I remember computers and bald chicks.
Yeah, I remember the like psychic girls in the tubs.
You don't remember the sandwich?
I don't remember the sandwich.
Okay, so the guy, he goes and he gets new eyes implanted by like a weird black market disgraced doctor.
I vaguely remember that.
Those are my eyes.
They leave him.
Oh, and they leave him
a
sandwich,
leave him
but
a sandwich and some milk, but he can't see. So they put the sandwich next to a gross rotten sandwich and the milk next to some gross rotten milk. Because later on there's a scene. Yeah, no, seriously. And then he goes to that weird house where they're having the weird sex party, and he learned the password from his buddy, and he goes and buys a mask.
Wow, yeah, I clearly need to see this movie again.
And then
I barely remember any of these.
Later
things.
On, he has to jump off of a building in order to reboot his immortality chamber.
What?
Did you not see Vanilla Sky?
Yeah, I have.
You have seen all
Sky.
Of this. See, this is the problem with you. You watch every movie, you remember none of them.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah. How is that awesome? Oh, because you can watch it again and it leave just as little of an impression as it did the first time. All right.
Immortality chamber. I don't know.
That's what Vanilla Sky was about. I mean, spoiler alert for Vanilla Sky. So the entirety of the movie, Vanilla Sky, was like a lucid dream that the character was having because he was cryogenically frozen until such time as they cured whatever disease he died of. And he had paid extra for the package that let him have a cool experience. But he decided ahead of time what the experience was meant to be. And he wanted to know what it was like to have your life go to shit because he'd always been so lucky and rich and everything. So all of the horrible stuff that happens to him over the course of the movie is stuff that he made himself go through without real... Like, because at the end of the movie, when he starts screaming, tech support, tech support, tech support, and suddenly this guy materializes out of thin air, is like, yeah, what do you want? And then he has to jump off of the building to wake up, and he was like, ah, fuck, I made it so I had to do this, didn't I? Because he's like terrified of heights for the entire movie, and he made it so he had to jump off of a really tall building to get out of it.
Huh.
And so that's how the movie ends, is he does that. And then presumably wakes up in his brand new body where he doesn't have fucked up, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow. No, it was not Gwyneth Paltrow. It was the girl from Something About Mary. Casper Jackson. What is that girl's name? Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
That's pretty close to
Casper Jackson. All I remember is the love story with Penelope Cruz, because I thought that was really
well. No, but she's because awesome. He's got the crazy girlfriend.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz
drives him off a cliff, and that's why his face gets all fucked up. And
right.
Then he loses all of his money and everything because his face is all fucked up. And I don't think you even saw this movie.
Apparently not.
You apparently don't know any of the Tom Cruise movies that I just montaged, most of which were actually Minority Report.
Did he slide across the floor in socks?
Yes.
Is he in a wheelchair the entire time?
Yeah. We just made the socks weird.
Is his name Goose?
No, you're thinking of Anthony Edwards, who was a nerd in college, and then there was something with pie. I don't know if I actually saw Revenge of the Nerds or not. I just remember a thing where they were selling pies, and the reason that they were selling so many pies is because the pies had pictures of naked women in the bottom of the tin.
Because that would clearly induce me to buy and eat more pie.
No, and then Beast or whatever, the Kelsey Grammer's character. Okay. Anyway, this is what Leap Motion does.
Oh my God! Yes. Yeah. Whoa. So yeah, and then the Facebook and Zynga stocks have not been doing so well. So I guess Facebook's IPO went public.
The only Zynga stocks I care about are the stocks they put Mark Pincus in and let us throw rotten eggs at him.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah,
I would settle for regular eggs.
So it's been interesting to see people's reaction to Facebook and Zynga. Zynga theoretically has a business model where they make money, and their stock is really low valued. And then Facebook doesn't have any kind of business model, and they still market capitalized at like $100 billion or whatever.
I mean, I think everything that happens involving bankers is so far removed from anything that makes any sense from a layman's point of view about how
the world works
and the world work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. And then the other sort of cool news story that I saw was that there's a virus that has been discovered that has like a piezoelectric effect when it is deformed. And so this researcher has put sort of like spread these viruses out on sheets and connected them to like LCD panels and had them light up when he pushes on the top of the panel.
Huh.
So, you know, his thinking is theoretically we could coat all kinds of surfaces with these
and it's easy to grow because you just spill some milk and then turn the virus loose in there.
Yeah.
So we could have sidewalks like in that Michael Jackson video.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically anywhere you walk will be lit up.
Like Billie Jean?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I should have said something else. And then gone off on some tangent that was a hybrid of 10 other Michael Jackson videos that I'm really familiar with, but I'm not familiar with any Michael Jackson videos.
Yeah, Thriller. What about Beat It? That's about it.
There was that Singapore prison that had the Thriller dance.
There was Black and White where when it was first aired on television, at the end he turns into a puma and yells a lot and just totally fucks up a car. Yeah. And then they stopped playing that part of the video.
Oh.
Because it was too puma.
Two puma for TV.
That all the news?
Yeah.
Good. Assignment: Diablo 3.
Yay!
Hey guys, we're talking about Diablo 3s.
Awesome.
The indie game about demons.
Yeah.
Everything is just an indie game about everything at this point. One of these days, that stack of papers is going to sell at auction for a large amount of money.
I so seriously doubt that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, buddy. We don't have any future.
No. It's exciting, though.
So what do you guys...
To not know what our future holds.
What do you guys think about Diablo 3?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
It
sucks up a lot. Like, as much time as you have that you are awake, it will suck up if you are not careful.
I feel like I'm... I could probably stop.
I'm getting near to where I could stop, but I want to hit level cap. I want to get to 60 at least.
I also... feel a subtle compulsion to get to level cap, but there is absolutely nothing to look forward to at the level cap.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not like I get to the level cap and suddenly it opens a new cave for me to go into and a new enemy model to fight or like really any source of novelty other than the most...
And especially now that I've gotten to the point where I'm starting to have to actually deliberately farm currency and upgrade my gear seriously in order to make much further progress. When we were talking about it earlier this morning, I was stuck on the hell mode Skeleton King, and I beat him a couple hours ago, but still pretty hard.
I was when I played last, I was in the sewers of Chaldeum in the nightmare mode, and there was that thing where every once in a while you would walk past a thing and then the ceiling would collapse and there would be a bunch of skeletons and I'd be like, fuck yeah, and I would go kill them.
That is the nice bit about farming the Skeleton King dungeons, is you get to kill a lot of skeletons.
I still, you know, people, a lot of the criticisms that I am reading on the internet by bitter, bitter people who just don't enjoy fun and don't want anyone to be successful.
Yeah.
there has been a surprising number of... I saw, over the course of about an hour, just reading random stuff on the internet, two different people describe the top-down, fixed-camera perspective of Diablo 3 as being outdated and a bad choice on their part, which is an objection that I cannot wrap my head around.
What would the alternative even a little bit. For this game?
People explicitly criticizing it for you not being able to control the camera. And...
there's nothing you need to see.
What would be the point of being able to control the camera? What would be the point of having it like in a free rotatable mode?
Yeah,
like,
people don't know what they want.
Make it extra confusing? Yeah, exactly. People don't think hard enough about the implications of what they're asking for. Like all the people who wanted the difficulty levels to be selectable at the very beginning of the game don't apparently take the minute to think that, okay, these aren't really separate difficulty levels. They're just fixed points along the longer progression of the game. If you could start a character at nightmare difficulty
and still survive.
Well, yeah, I mean, what would happen? Would you start with a level 32 character and all these skills that you haven't been introduced to? Or would you start with a set of level 32 gear that you could then sell on the auction hall and then make another level 32 character and then another one and then another one? No, there's a very definite reason why you have to start on normal mode.
I think that a lot of people don't think of Diablo as a roguelike. And so a lot of the implications of the form are
lost on them.
Yeah, I mean they don't think of it as like that's what this game is. And so saying that this game should not be this way is just saying I want to play a different game.
Yeah.
And I mean the first Diablo was definitely more like typical, right? It was just a flat like dungeon with deeper levels. And then when they, you know, with Diablo 2, I read an interesting criticism that was basically like, and I don't remember who this was. I don't remember if it was the guy on the Player versus Developer blog or it might have been a guy on Kill 10 Rats. But they talked about how the incremental improvements in systems and visuals between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 would have been a lot more acceptable if there had been 4 years between the games instead of 14 years or 12 years or however long it's been. And I kind of also find that hard to wrap my head around because Diablo 3 looks amazing. And
it looks like a friggin' painting. It looks like an old Dragon magazine cover.
Yeah, except awesome. You're moving around and there's shit. Yeah. There's skeletons crawling out of holes and attacking you and shit. And
the way that enemies come into the screens is so fucking cool. Like, if you actually pay attention, like, spiders dropping in on their threads from above.
Or the skeletons crawling in the windows.
From the sides and stuff like that.
In the Halls of Agony, those guys that crawl out of the furnaces.
Yeah.
Like, all over the place, like, things are happening in the environment that are just amazing.
Oh, it kind of blew me away when I started playing Act 3, and you can look off, like, the battlements and see the armies, like, fighting in the background and, like, huge demons just obliterating dudes. And,
yeah. And I think that what people don't... like, if you could just move the camera around at will, there would be no way to do that that didn't look like shit.
Right.
Right? And that's... I've never understood. I've never understood the people that say, like, Rift is better than World of Warcraft because it has better graphics. You know, like, people talked about how much better the graphics in Lord of the Rings Online were than in World of Warcraft.
I hated the graphics in Lord of the Rings
Online. Like, higher poly count, boring bullshit, because the important thing in the presentation of visuals is not the number of polygons. Yep. It is the fucking art direction. It is the aesthetic choices and the execution of those aesthetic choices. Yeah. And that is where Blizzard just has it fucking hands down. And it's,
And I don't understand how people can look at these two different things and not recognize that difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because we're fanboys. It's just because our dicks are in Blizzard's pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, I think it is also the fact that video games have splintered more and more and more and more, and people start to play a particular kind of game, and that becomes their baseline for what everything else is judged by. So you play any other kind of game and you're like, oh, I can't move the camera? That's ridiculous. I can move the camera in every game I play, right? Like, if you think of this as a first-person shooter that you're somehow trapped in this particular view of, then sure, you're going to be like, these controls are terrible. I can't, you know, do things that I should be able to do, because you're not thinking, like, this game isn't what you think it is, you know? And that's just a weird mindset that I think some people are trapped in.
It is weird. I mean, we played Diablo 2 fairly recently, so we're a lot, I mean, I guess it was not like 4 or 5 years ago.
And it was not a long time. We played for like a couple hours.
Right, but we looked at it.
Sure.
We looked at it and it was like, wow, this does not look as good as I remember it looking.
Right.
You know? And it was pretty impressive at the time, I guess.
I mean, a frustration that I had with this was like having the button that you move with also attack.
That
kind of drives me fucking crazy.
That killed
crazy.
Me a bunch of times, actually. Yeah. It's playing as a melee class, because when you need to get out of the fire and you go to click to get out of the fire, but instead you're clicking on an enemy, so you attack instead of moving.
Yeah.
And consequently die.
Yeah, that was driving me crazy.
That was a pain in the butt.
I had to remap.
But I mean, eventually, it's. I mean, you get used to clicking further away.
Sure. No, I mean, I have gotten used to it, but like, it was such a huge transition, because it's just not the way that I would think of designing a game.
Well, how would you do it? What's your alternative?
Just WASD. Just move around with WASD. Like,
but everything is at a 45 degree angle.
Yes. You pick one direction that is north, and the opposite direction is south, and the other two keys move appropriately. You know, like, you'd figure out a way.
Life finds a way.
No, I don't know. That was the only problem I have with click to move, is that occasional glitch. Other than that,
you're also playing a melee class. Playing a range class is actually worse.
Okay.
Like, it is so much harder to get around, because you're already far away from dudes, and if you want to like run towards them, that's sometimes impossible, because if you click on somebody from a range, you shoot at them. Right? Like, getting around when that is the only way to move was infuriating sometimes.
That's weird. It has not bothered me. I mean, there are definitely times where I get stuck and get killed because I can't get out of a pack of enemies, but like,
yeah, I mean,
go back and kill them.
I have become so accustomed to moving around separately than like aiming and shooting and stuff like that, that like, it was really hard for my brain to get used to this old style of play again. And, you know, I still played it and enjoyed it. And like, it is something that you can get used to. I basically just started using spells where I could sit back and shoot, just destroy things from a distance and not have to worry about position quite as much.
I do have to say, it's a little hard for me to imagine spending the number of hours playing this as I spent playing Diablo 2.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's just because I'm older.
I mean, so part of me thinks that it's maybe because I'm older, because I've already sort of been there, done that with this kind of game.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot more shit to do now.
In the world, like, or in that
in the world, and well, I mean, partly in my life, right? Like, because when I played Diablo 2, I was just in college, and you know, there were a lot of times where it's like, well, I can't afford to leave my house. What am I going to do? I guess I'll play one of the video games that I own on a CD-ROM.
Right.
You know, because there wasn't, you know, the internet was there, but not anything like the internet is now. There certainly weren't 1,000 free RPGs that I could play with loot and leveling and sweet monsters to kill and princesses to rescue the way that there are now. There were some, like, you know, you get some shareware discs from the library with some basic programs on them.
Right.
Did you ever do that?
No, I never got discs from the library.
My, well, it wasn't, you had to take your own discs. They had these CD-ROMs at the library full of shit, like these shareware libraries. It was weird.
Wow. Huh.
I mean, it was interesting. Like, I would go and just fill up discs with, I would just carry a pocket full of floppies. Hey, baby. Down and just get all these weird, just like discs of, just going through, and there were more things in this catalog than there was time to read. Ever. So I was just like randomly sampling this stuff and was like, oh, this is a disc full of basic programs. I guess I'll see if these are for the version of basic that I have and if they will run.
Wow.
It was just, I don't know where the shit came from.
Yeah, that's super weird. How did that distribution network happen?
I don't know.
You know,
I should dig some of those games out and we'll do one of them as an assignment.
So you and I played through the game the first time cooperatively. And that was pretty interesting. It was totally doable. Like, you played a melee class, I played a ranged class, so that I think that helped.
Yeah. I didn't feel like, structurally, it very much seemed like the game was designed to be played multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't seem like there was, like, I mean, it was a little weird if we really thought about it that there was a different version of the world for you than for me. But, like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's mostly in the drops, right?
Mostly in the drops, right? Like, and most of that just didn't really matter. You know, I'd be like, ooh, look at that. And you would be like, look at what? And I'm like, I don't know, that thing that dropped that has a name that seems like it's something that would go on your wizard finger.
Oh,
that sounds kind of dirty.
Did we ever determine whether the person opening the chest determined all of the magical loot that dropped out of it? Or was it, if you opened a chest, did it roll on my magic find and then
it
on your magic find?
It has to roll on yours. Because I just can't.
It wouldn't make any sense
otherwise.
It cannot
be the case that didn't occur to them.
It's kind of curious.
And it's like the party is like, all right, we load all of our magic find gear on this one guy and make him open all the chests. Like that.
Or maybe it averages out your magic find. It sure as hell seemed like when I had like a 12% magic find and you had like an 80% magic find, you were finding way more magic shit than I was.
Yeah. Although, I mean, small sample.
So we played through the entire game, co-op, and we basically didn't interact with like the auction house at all. It was all just stuff that we had found.
Yeah.
And it was totally beatable, that kind of thing. And then I started playing through the game solo on a different class. And I was
through normal again.
Through normal again, yeah. And was that time I was just paying a lot more attention to like the narrative, and I was reading absolutely every journal and talking to every single NPC and trying to hear every bit of dialogue. Even the ones where if you just walked by them, they would have like a little conversation and stuff like that. Like I spent a much longer time just sort of waiting, listening to people talk. And that was interesting. And then Riff, you told me about how the auction house works. And then I realized, oh, instead of trying to just get all the gear on my own, I should clearly just buy
all I did
stuff.
The entire time we were playing through was salvage everything and just make random stuff from the blacksmith because it had that fun gambling.
That
aspect.
Was pretty much what I did through all of normal. And I didn't end up going into the auction hall until nightmare when stuff
started to get
hit
hard.
Points started to get out of the range of where I felt I would easily be able to gather my own equipment.
Yeah. So
it seems like if you start messing with the auction house, it seems super pointless to mess around with gems. I mean, somebody has to mess around with them. But
when you say mess around with, you mean
like consolidate lower gems into higher gems, right? Like
the prices, still do that. The prices on the auction house are so much cheaper than consolidating a single gem.
Really?
Yeah. It's like to get like a,
I have noticed that the higher level gems cost ridiculous amounts of money to fuse.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just like it, if
I
you
mean, and
to
that's
do that,
a way of enforcing a price floor on that commodity in the auction house.
But it doesn't.
They sell for less because they also drop. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like whatever the highest level gem that drops is, then the consolidated gems will, of course, be based on the sort of whatever the market price is plus the crafting prices. But
I still feel kind of, I don't know, I enjoy banging gems together so much. I think just as a point of pride, I would not want to.
I think
buy other people's gems.
I think that they should remove the cost for,
or at least make it
low level gems.
Cheaper.
Just remove the cost for the low level gems.
If that was a feature of leveling up, I could see if that was a feature of leveling up the jeweler is that he could start to like once you've got him to the like tome and 50,000 gold upgrade or whatever, he's like, all right, now I can do chipped to flawed for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean
the one I've The level I'm at now, the highest thing I can make is the second square gem, and it costs 20,000 gold.
To make one?
Yeah.
See, and to buy those is like 5,000 gold.
Yeah.
And I've bought a bunch of them to just put in stuff, because it was like, wow, just for so little gold in the auction house, I can get stuff that's so much better than this shit that I've been like painstakingly collecting stuff over the whole game to do, and like paying to remove them from stuff, because you know, there's a regular ruby in there. I should pay the gold to get that out, but like, I probably shouldn't have. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It's and it's weird though that like there are still a bunch of gems that just don't you can't find in the auction house because people don't, people haven't made any of them.
Oh, the high end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
they haven't found the drops. Like, I think it's possible that there is stuff that the plans have never dropped for anybody. I've only had one orange drop the entire time I've played.
I've had two.
You mean legendary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a single one.
I can't sell it. It errors out every time I try to sell it in the auction house.
Huh. That may be one of the things that a little earlier the auction house was down for rejiggering. So maybe that's something that they're looking at. I had some problems last night trying to buy tomes of jewel crafting, and it always seemed to error out for me on those, but not for anything else, which was weird.
Yeah, I had bought a bunch of stuff, not realizing that there was that second step where you had to go and move it into your stash. I bet they didn't want that to be there. I bet that was some technical limitation that they had to compromise on.
My guess is that they had to do that so that there would be an extra step in case you didn't have enough room in your stash for it to go in automatically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? What other thoughts do you have, Kevin?
Well, so I... Did you guys bother talking to the companions through their whole story arcs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those story arcs were really interesting.
Yeah. I really like the Enchantress girl.
They all had, like, a lot of depth to them, and...
The, like, Templar thing where they, like, beat you until you forget about your transgressions, yeah. And that's how they purify you.
Yeah.
There's like, some... It's hard to take some of the dark stuff seriously because of how silly a lot of it is. But, yeah. Like, there is some, like, pretty grisly stuff in there if you, like... The stuff that's presented with, like, just a slight little bit of earnestness is suddenly like, oh, whoa, okay, yeah.
Right, and then you go on the auction hall and see the legendary pants called the Hammer Pants with the description, you can't touch these.
Nice.
Yeah. But
we'd have made that joke too.
Right, but we make a comedy game, you know?
Diablo was always had tongue-in-cheek bits, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think it was somebody on our forums posted the, like, whoever is in charge of naming the achievements for Diablo 3 deserves a raise, because there's a lot of really awesome, funny stuff in there.
Chestmaster 2000.
Chestmaster 2000.
So great.
And that doesn't bother me as much as... You know, I thought Wirt's third leg was kind of stupid in Diablo 2. Mm-hmm. Right? Because come on, man. Like, you can make these jokes in a context that is not like a thing that I have to carry around and hit people with.
It's pretty funny. Come on.
But it wasn't. Wirt's leg was Wirt's leg.
Right, but then when you got his leg, he had to get a replacement, so that was his third leg.
Whatever.
Pretty funny.
I think the joke that they're making is that what you're hitting these demons with is a little boy's dick.
It was a wooden club.
Mm-hmm. A little boy's petrified dick.
Okay. All right.
Well,
that's what petrified.
Someone was hitting demons with my dick, I'd be pretty petrified.
All right.
Some of the events were really cool. Some of the narrative events. The one where you find the diseased beast or whatever that was freshly killed, and then a bunch of guys come out of the ground and attack you, and then once you've killed them all, then this cellar door opens up and the farmer comes out and he's like, oh, thank you, I was, you know, we were trapped down in the cellar because of these beasts up here. My wife would love to thank you, she's down in the cellar. You're like, okay. So you, like, go down there, and there's this skeleton sitting in a rocking chair, and he's just gone completely nuts, and he's like... it was just awesome. It was like, there was no point to that except for, like, a place for you to go in and get a chest from,
and as you're leaving,
mechanically.
The skull falls off, the body rolls away, and he says, oh, she's nodded off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys think that I'll eventually get crazy enough that I will marry a skeleton?
Maybe.
Because I'm assuming that guy just married a skeleton. I'm assuming that it wasn't like he had a wife that died and rotted. Because it takes a really long time to just turn into a skeleton.
I think you'd be in trouble for spousal abuse.
But then the skeleton grows a beard.
Yeah. And then that crumbles to dust. And then the dust grows a beard. Everyone should read the webcomic three-word phrase. It is often really stupid, but it is often sublime.
Then the two other things that I wrote down that I was like just really happy with were treasure goblins. Those are fucking great.
Oh,
they're
man.
So yeah. much fun.
They're really, and it makes me so sad when one gets away.
Because well, they always like, it's my experience that they always end up running towards a group of monsters so that you have to chase them into a mob full of like, of crazy shit. And like, it's just great. They're like, they're this awesome treasure piñata and like, they make no sense narratively really, but they are just a lot of fun and I'm glad that they're there.
I kind of want, because there's that lore about them that's like, it says they open those golden portals to Greed's domain. I want to go to Greed's domain.
Yeah.
And then I really like the, I liked the difficulty curve. I was like the, you know, the normal mode, I died a couple, a handful of times or whatever. And then you go into nightmare mode and stuff starts to actually get really hard.
Oh man. Some of the combinations
the elite
you get
packs,
in the
like those fire chains are always pretty rough.
The mortar guys kind of give me a hard time.
Oh, because you're ranged.
Yeah. Jailer
can be really hard.
What's it?
Walls. The guys making walls. The walls suddenly started causing some problems for me when it got to the point where you actually need to like back off and heal up.
Like if they've got
fuck.
Or like if they've got. The poison things or desecrate jailer and desecrate sucks.
Yeah.
Those fucking trees are, I feel like that's where everybody starts dying is
when you get to those trees that pop out
the poison pods that were like annoying in normal and you sort of figure it out. But then it's like, once you have to hit them 30 times to kill them, it's like, man, this is a pain in the ass.
My game that I've got paused in the other room, I'm busy getting my ass kicked by a herd of those giant beasts with fire chains, molten, and illusionist.
Illusionist.
What does that even do?
It makes like copies of them.
What does that do with fire chains, though?
Only the three real ones have the chains. Actually, I think it's four of them. I think there's a pack of four of these guys.
Wow. That's rough. Yeah, the first time I saw Illusionist, I was like, what is happening? The screen is full of dudes.
I think that I have so little of an idea of what is going on ever that I didn't really understand what was happening with the Illusionist monsters.
Some of those things are really fun. I really enjoy, although in once you get to like hell difficulty, the pink watch hands, the arcane things, those will basically one-shot you if they hit you.
Wow.
But running around them is so satisfying.
Hmm. Even if there's like four of them and they intersect.
It gets tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I like everything that falls out of the randomness, you know? Like, it's just, that's...
It's the combinations
the roguelike really aspects of it are so satisfying.
I cannot imagine playing this game on hardcore.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. I can. I mean, I'm not going to. I can imagine it.
Oh, yeah, sure, I could, but I can't imagine doing it because, the idea of not getting invested in the character enough that I wouldn't just be furious if I got one up to like hell difficulty and then encountered a pack of
or died from fucking because your internet quit working, right? I mean, which happened all the time.
Sure, that's true.
That happened a lot more in Diablo 2. It's only happened to me once in D3, and it wasn't their servers being down; it was my internet just
crapped out,
flaky. I think that's because my internet comes through a regular Cat 5 cable that's strung across my roof and has been there for 3 or 4 years or five years.
Got Cat 5 cable run through your house and you just haven't like plugged it in.
Put ends on it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of. I gotta squeeze a thing. Those plier things.
You gotta look up the order the colors go in.
No, I remember that. But this ain't my first rodeo. I just a few days ago I taught Roy how to wire Ethernet cables, but. Yeah, I mean, it works, and so I don't want to mess with it. Like, I don't want to, like, I
this is a cable that you have strung out the window on the first floor, it goes outside your house, and comes in the window on the second floor.
Yeah.
Because your wireless
it's
was
good.
Not...
And looking at it, where it's running across the flat part of the roof just getting rained on, and the sun, the 125-degree Arizona sun beating down on it, it's just totally cracked, like, the wires are all exposed. It is a miracle that it works. But it does, and so I was like, I'm participating in this miracle. Look at all this internet. Look at all this internet.
Yeah, you should.
Internet is magical.
You should cut that shit out.
The web pages taste better because it's authentic. It's they have a warmer sound. Is that all we have to say about Diablo 3, or does anybody have anything else to say about Diablo 3?
I think it was an excellent game. I'm glad they sold 6.5 million copies of it.
They deserve it.
You know. What are they going to do now?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess Titan is the next big thing, right? And then there's...
Well, I mean, they've got another StarCraft expansion. They've probably got another World of Warcraft expansion.
Well, sure. Works. I mean, Pandaria's coming out, but the...
No, I mean, beyond this, right? You know.
Well, certainly.
But then, yeah, you know, Diablo 4 may not be a thing, you know? Who knows?
You know what, Riff? I don't know that I agree with your assertion that the ending of... Okay, so I do want to say, ending cutscene, what? Okay, so I guess Tyrael sits on a chair? Yay!
I didn't actually see him sit anywhere.
Did you he goes up and sits. He's like, now I'm...
I thought he just stood there.
Hope. Or what?
No,
wisdom.
Wisdom? Okay.
Yeah. Justice has been served, so now I am wisdom.
Well, but I mean...
As immortal.
What do you think...
Yeah, he doesn't... I was like, oh, is he going to get his wings back? Nope. Oh.
Well, I mean, okay, sure, but what do you think the plot of 4 would be? They've pretty much taken care of all of
hell. You killed him and everything else too. Like, I mean, it's not the, it's a video
the,
game.
The Black Soulstone falls to the ground. You see it in the cutscene. So it's like, and it theoretically it still contains all 7 evils or whatever. These are total spoilers, by the way. Sorry. Yeah. So but like you see he dissolves and the thing just tumbles to the ground.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the story of Diablo 3 is not important to anyone.
The story itself was really disappointing in a lot of ways. It was
I mean, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't expecting a lot out of it.
I felt like the story of 1 was very simple, self-contained, and kind of like ended in an awesome way. The story of the second one made a lot of sense. Like, you were following somebody who was, like, doing stuff in the world, so it made a lot of sense for you to be going these places. And the story of the third one was just...
It was kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
and...
it seemed like they came up with a bunch of environments that they wanted you to go to first, and then were like, okay, how do we get the player to these places? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it felt like.
And trying to make every boss into... I mean, we talked about this at dinner the other day, like, where... Trying to make every boss into a thing that has a personality. Like, the reason that the Butcher was such a scary thing is because he looked like a big scary dude, and then he was like, fresh meat, and that was it. That was it. It wasn't like, you don't know why he's there. You don't know who his dad is. Like, you know, like, 'cause it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's like, it's, oh, that's an awesome guy. And it was like, you know, it was like a beloved character, not because of his strength as a character, but because it was presented in a way that was scary and he was super tough and just fucking killed you. And it's not the same when, like, the fight is way cooler. The butcher fight, I think, was probably the most satisfying fight in the game to me. Like,
yeah, probably.
Belial is visually impressive, but it's like, eh. And I mean, I haven't tried him on the higher difficulty. Like, I haven't gotten to Belial on the higher difficulty levels, so I don't know. The one Asmodan where those big circles appear that you got to that was kind of cool too. But I mean, the Butcher was just like, yeah, this is neat.
The fights are all very environmentally engaging, which is kind
of
neat.
I mean, I think it's a lot of lessons that they learned from developing raid bosses
for WoW, definitely.
You know, and I think a lot of, like, they've learned a lot about making really cool looking spaces by having all of this money and all of this time to like Karazhan. Karazhan is one of the coolest video game environments ever. And I really wish that I could go mess around in there some more, but I was only able to go in there once because only at one point was I ever like in a guild that was running Karazhan and let me go. Yeah.
Did we get all the way to the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I never really got to look around because if I lost you guys, I would have no fucking idea how to get to where you were, and I would get killed. And
if not everything was clear, you'd
get
just,
And so, but in this, it's like you can look off in the distance and get just a hint of that stuff, right? Like the backdrops on these environments are just like when you're in those fucking towers the end of Act 3 where just those giant like skeleton guys are chained up hanging out in
you know what I really in Act 1 when you bust a bookcase.
When you pull all the papers down?
Yeah.
What about
the shelves break and the books slide down off of them?
In the Cool Wizards archives or whatever, when you touch the bookcase and everything just flies off, that's pretty cool too. Yeah.
And those I kind of want to play up to that point again. Those lamp things that if you break them, they shatter and then just immediately snap back together.
Yeah,
those are.
I was like,
awesome.
Oh man, I wish I had some lamps like that. This wizard was pretty cool.
There's things like that also in the hell areas that I guess it's like a big globe full of blood, and when you hit it, the hooks on the top snap out and then snap back and puncture the globe, and it all explodes and gore everywhere.
In the archives, did you notice that like the bridges you're walking over are made of sand that is just like suspended, like floating out sideways?
Are you sure it's not just an optical illusion and Harrison Ford threw some sand on it?
I'm not actually sure about that.
If you could move the camera, it would spoil the effect. That's see? True. Yet see? Another yeah. reason. Huh? To maintain this archaic, antiquated, outdated perspective.
Yeah. Their art direction was pretty freaking amazing. Like, the more that I think about it, like, the more excited I am about all the different elements of the art.
Like, I feel like we just went in a circle and thought of a whole bunch of cool shit that we had nearly forgotten about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's pretty. Pretty game.
Yep.
Tried and true gameplay mechanisms.
We played Trine. And thought that its environments were kind of amazingly beautiful.
Super pretty.
Right? So it's like, that can definitely help you enjoy a game.
Yeah, also Trine couldn't move a fucking camera, and that's why it looks so good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Sure.
It's, you couldn't, with the same video card, you could not walk around in that environment free roaming and have it look as good.
And to be fair, a lot of people don't understand how the technical aspects of those kinds of things are made. So they don't understand why couldn't I have it look as awesome and then be able to see the other side of it because I can move the camera around.
Right. I mean,
they don't understand that there is no
like,
other
look,
side of
just
it.
Let us fly in Kalimdor and Western Kingdoms. It's easy. Just flip the switch that lets you fly. And it's like, well, no, because the reason that these cities look cool is because they're like almost completely skyboxed and instanced. It's seriously like, if we just let you fly, you'd be like, what the fuck is this crazy shit I'm not supposed to be seeing?
Where is Orgrimmar? There's just a giant hole in the ground, which is all that's there if you don't go in through the front gates.
Right. I mean, that isn't true anymore. Because after the Cataclysm, they actually made it. And it's like weird. And people are complaining, I like the old Orgrimmar. If you also wanted to fly.
Can't have both.
Yeah. Skybox.
Oh, so our next assignment.
Oh, yeah.
Is... Quest for Glory.
Quest for Glory 1, yes. Available on GOG.coc. I am going to play the old EGA version of it.
I think I might
as
well.
Type end.
I will play whatever version I can find that will run in ScumVM or whatever happens to run it on a Mac.
I mean, I think if you buy it from GOG, you'll be able to run it in ScumVM. I think the data files, I think it should be able to load the actual original data files. I don't know that for sure, but you should buy it anyway, you jerk.
It's $10 for all five.
Yeah, it's $10 for five games.
And it includes all the documentation.
I may actually already own
digital versions of the feelies and stuff.
GOG.
Digital versions.
That seems like something I would have bought on a random GOG spree.
It's new.
It came out fairly
last week.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
That's one of the reasons we're doing it.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking forward to this, because this is a game that at least Kevin and I played a lot of when we were kids. Yeah,
super fond memories.
So we'll have to see.
So my memory is that there were a lot of different challenges and that each of the three different classes had a different way of solving them. Zach says, that's horseshit.
No, there were not as many as you think. There were probably also not as few as I think.
I think there's like 5 or 10 like things. I think there was like a nest or an egg up in a tree that you needed to get.
It was a ring. It was the healer's ring. And you go and you give it to her and you get some potions.
I think there were like 5 or 10 different.
I mean, there's like the Thieves Guild that you can only get to if you're a thief.
Right. Yeah, there were some places, I think I ended up playing a thief because they could get basically everywhere, whereas the other classes were more limited or something.
Wizards have that game that they can play with Erasmus where there's like the bugs in the maze.
Yeah, like each class had its own little guild that had like different stuff going on. It was just neat. It's just like, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's like the leveling of the character, which was a lot of fun. There's all the story stuff.
Throwing a knife at a target over and over and over again.
Yeah, I am not going to level all of my character stats to max, which is what I did.
Change his name to Boner. Sheriff Boner. Madam Boner.
Is that what you always changed people's names to Boner?
Princess Boner.
That was your elite hacking skills back in the day?
Yeah, it's pretty elite. I think we can save these remaining listeners' mail questions for next week. Because we spent so much time talking about how awesome the
and
visuals
you thought
Diablo
we were not going to have anything to talk about. Remember? You were like, what are we going to say? We've already talked about Diablo 3.
Yeah, that is what I said.
Yeah. So if people wanted to send us more questions that we wouldn't answer on another show.
No, we will. We do. We will.
Yeah, you have a list printed out in front of you.
I do, and we only answered like a third of them last time.
Nice. So you should tweet us, at VGHotDog. You should email us, vghotdog@gmail.com. You should come to our forums. You can find them at videogameshotdog.com. And you should review us on iTunes, because that makes everybody happy.
Yeah.
And you should go to wordrealms.com and check out our sweet Kickstarter. And
yeah.
Tell everybody you have ever met in your life about it, because, you know, we could use some publicity.
We want to hire some dudes.
Yeah.
All we want is more dudes.
I tweeted it at Will Shorts, and he didn't say anything.
Yeah. Did you try to get Pixar Jones's attention?
I didn't try Pixar Jones.
Okay. What about Walter Microsoft?
No, I didn't try him either.
Okay. What about J.C. Penney?
These are excellent ideas.
Is that
ideas.
Related to J.C. Denton?
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been great. So come back next week for another outstanding episode of Video Games.
Be glad to. Episode.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Man, I can't wait until they open up. Maybe they already have. I wonder if it would be possible. Like, if I were to just, say, dedicate all of mine and the company's savings to acquiring the rights to the .corn top-level domain. I think maybe that would be awesome.
.corn. It would be an awesome way to spend all our money and
it would be funny.
And
it
die
would be,
penniless.
It would be a funny story. Like when I was writing my autobiography, or when somebody else was writing it for me, I don't know, because I can no longer afford a pen because of the failure of my .corn scheme. Guys, I've got a business opportunity for you. Giving you the opportunity to get it on the ground floor. Hulabaloo.corn. It is unstoppable.
Yeah. If we submitted that application for the new TLD.
I don't know. Can you?
Sure, why not?
But what do you... we're the corn advisory board.
No, we're just corn enthusiasts.
Yeah. We're enthusiasts of naming websites things that end in corn.
Hardcore corn. Yeah.
Because that, I mean, think about it, though, because you could do a lot of awesome graffiti where you went around to a bunch of things that were listing .com,
and just yeah,
scrape out part of it.
Yeah, and then you'd get all the squatters.
Yeah.
You'd get all the page views. Oh, man.
All the eyeballs.
Come see my nutsack online at www.corn.
Oh, Jesus. I thought it was YouTube.corn.
Okay, right. Shit.
Well, yeah, www.youtube.corn.
Oh, yeah, every website's prefaced with
www.youtube.corn.
This is the best show.
Uh-huh.
All right.